Hoy there, chummers. Welcome back for another episode of the Hard Knocks Sorority Podcast. This is the Shadowrun 4th Edition Actual Play Podcast. Our game features a pony, a dryad, a catwoman, and a college girl. The amazing cast are Beth as the pony Grace, visiting the 6th world from Equestria on a mission from Celestia herself. Cat as the gruff and mysterious dryad Deandra. Val as the mercenary with the hard outside and a soft spot for Grace. And finally, Veronica as Cecile, the college girl who has a way of getting into trouble and under everyone's skin. This is episode 4 of season 2, and it features Cecile, aka college girl, going solo, doing a little Matrix sleuthing. For all of you who have continued to spend time with us, and for those of you joining us for the first time, I want to tell you how much I appreciate it. I love playing with my friends and tinkering with podcasting. It's not something that I've ever done before, and I'm sure it shows. But it's super validating and amazing to watch the number of downloads and listeners grow. I really hope that you are enjoying the show, and I heartily invite you to join our Discord server and give the cast a shout. They love hearing from you. On other Shadowrun subjects, you've probably heard of some of the other great shows out there, like those absolute meatballs from Pink Fohawk, or my friends at the Berlin It's a Bug, Not a Feature podcast. Today, however, I am going to plug a pet project from the mysterious cabal of Shadowrun podcasters called The Fixer Files. It's an anthology of sorts, a series of one-shot Shadowrun games. The hook is that the GM and the players are all Shadowrun podcasters, and the cast changes with each episode. I've played in a couple of the games, and I've GM'd one called Welcome to Vegas. It features Dr. Friendship from Sinless, the Great Unclean One from Dragon's Greed Gaming, Igni from Berlin, It's a Bug, Not a Feature, and Ridian from Pride Against Prejudice. What an awesome group of people. Real pros who made my job as the GM really easy. I hope you guys give it a listen and enjoy. If you have a moment, drop me a message on our Discord server, and let me know what you enjoy about the show, if you enjoy it, and where you think the story is going. Stay frosty, chummers. In a couple days, Cecile received a voice message from someone who's probably, well, more than likely it's broke up, who gave her a small clue stating that the wife of Kirill Petrov has a friend, a long-standing friend, who may be the key to some things that you're looking for, right? We left off with Cecile talking to Kirsten in the neo-Indian restaurant late at night after their study session.
Mm-hmm.
And which basically didn't resolve Cecile's need for a place to stay, because she'd basically grabbed her stuff from Deandir, and now she had thought that she was going to crash Kirsten's place, but probably what happened was when she saw the dump and the size of the dump,
she decided
to stay the heck out of there.
Unless she wanted to cuddle with Kirsten, which she does not, at least at this exact moment.
You could always call her girlfriend.
This is true. However, I have been avoiding that for the reason that it is on school property, and Cecile does not want to, like, go back before she's like, yeah, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She does not want to bring her problems onto Lexine. And she's obviously worried that if she does show up at Lexi's apartment, that it's going to come down on her somehow.
All right. So it's, I imagine that you and Kirsten have parted ways after eating.
Indeed.
And now you're sort of at loose ends and wondering, where am I going to go?
fight. So priorities here are that Cecile would probably want to not just go into Warehouse Alliance looking for data that she can use, like addresses, income, that kind of thing, but also probably trying to find some pay data as well, because her money is kind of low after turning in that 15,000. So she is definitely looking to, like, who knows, maybe she'll phone up one of her contacts and be like, hey, you need any work done? But another time. I think her next move is to go to a Matrix cafe.
All right. I mean, that's easy enough here this close to the university.
She's probably just going to connect to the Matrix through the internet cafe. The Matrix cafe, my bad. And she's going to see if the account that she hacked for herself at that Warehouse Alliance location in Puyallup, was it?
Yes.
In Puyallup, is still active or whether it's been scrubbed.
Yes, it's been scrubbed.
In that case, I suppose some rolling is in order.
Are you going in through the public portal, or are you trying to get in otherwise?
Well, what she's doing is she's essentially trying to anonymize herself as much as possible by having the signal go through the internet cafe, giving her a certain degree of deniability. And probably what I'll do is I'll just hack into the Matrix cafe and then erase her logs of even connecting, which is a pretty common thing to do. We don't really need this done quickly. However, she probably can't spend forever at a cafe, 3 days max. They do throw you out at some point. Let's go for probing, since she's going to be in Cold Sim VR, because it's legal and pretty fast, and only psychos use Hot Sim. Okay, we got a one. Not quite a glitch. No hits. It's fine. 2 hours. Four hits. Oh, I'm going for an admin account, by the way, on the Warehouse Alliance location in Puyallup. My total currently is 9.
Yeah, you've got it.
We'll just save this for later then. Doesn't really matter. So all 6 hours, and now she has an account, and she's just gonna log on.
Very similar to the when you logged into the main node at Warehouse Alliance headquarters. There wasn't a lot of money spent on the visuals, the visual representation, so it's very much just sort of a corporate office kind of area, and you've logged onto the public side of it, and it's so you're basically in a lobby with several doors leading out that are labeled in various ways.
Yes. What am I? So what are they labeled?
You're looking at the usual standard sort of corp stuff. That would be no surprise to Cecile, since she likes this kind of stuff. You know, there's HR, there's security, and there's finance, and then there's operations.
Probably going to go to operations.
As you approach the door, you see a key card reader on the door, and you see that you have a key card in your hand, and you go ahead and swipe it, and the light turns green and the door opens. You have an admin account, so you pass through without any issues. And operations looks a lot like the inside of a sort of a command and control center. And it's empty at this time. This is fairly late at night. You guys studied for quite a while. Then you had dinner. Even though Matrix time doesn't take that much time, you were hacking for 6 hours. So it's probably early in the morning. Operations is basically, looks like it encompasses the facility environmental controls. It encompasses the facility's actual physical controls. So you've got the environmental controls, physical controls like doors. It doesn't control cameras, but it controls the inside doors, and it controls all of the equipment of the facility. So you see like the statuses and activities of the various, the rigger pods, the forklifts, all of that type of stuff, right?
I'm just going to go ahead and back out and head to finance then. I didn't see anything related to documents and operations, did I?
Operations was very much what it sounds like. It's the action part of this. There's not much administrative stuff going on there.
Indeed, I am not interested in causing a prison riot at this exact moment. So don't have to worry about that.
So in finance, you see at least one program moving around. Looks like an accountant.
thick glasses, uncomfortable looking tie, not very fashionable, shuffling papers, going through from one filing cabinet to another. And this area has tons of filing cabinets. And as you start looking around, you see there are probably five or six of these accountant type people that are shuffling around, going around. And
they just, do their personas look like they're program or a genuine user?
They look like programs. They look like what you're seeing is transactions that are going on and being fulfilled by smart frames and stuff like that. You know, somebody's, some client somewhere is logged on, you know, scheduled a pickup or a delivery, and this is the data flowing around.
Oh boy. Ooh. So I'm looking for, so I'm just going to do a cursory look through and try to find.
What does your persona look like right now?
It just looks like Cecile. Of course, it looks like Cecile with some upper level AR fashion and stuff, but like it's still just Cecile sculpted into the Matrix.
So what's Cecile sculpted into the Matrix doing?
She is looking through the filing cabinets, trying to find any references to the deep.
All right, so as you take a quick sort of stroll through the various cabinets, looking at the, they all have titles on them. You come across one, you come across something that is titled Shareholders.
You want to go ahead and look at that?
All right, you open up the filing cabinet. There are what look like seven large files. Not large probably as in terms of a lot of data, but just they've been sculpted to look like, you know, a big fat dossier full of paperwork.
Right.
As you rifle through them quickly, you see that there are, this is sort of an accounting of A, how many shares each of the shareholders has and what dividend payouts they're getting and stuff like that. And one of the names on the one file is titled Kirill Petrov. Another one is titled, actually, make a memory check.
Memory?
One of them is titled Jim Mansell. And you remember that Jim Mansell was the alias that George Van Housen was using. That was the sin that he was using while he worked at Knight Errant.
Right.
And then there are a couple of other names, not very many. And as you look at this file, basically it details, these are the shareholders, these are the original stockholders, they are the members of the board, the biggest investor and also the biggest beneficiary of Warehouse Alliance is Kirill Petrov.
Okay.
His block of shares basically equals 52%. So all the rest of the shareholders together couldn't outvote him. So he's basically owns and runs Warehouse Alliance.
I take a look at the amount that they're earning.
Kirill Petrov is earning about...
No. The company itself.
Oh, the company itself.
I want to look at the records for the amount that the company is making, try to see if they've been altered in any way, and then I want to cross-reference that with how much they're being paid out to see if there's any discrepancy.
Yeah, you find what amounts to their tax, you know, their annual tax returns, and they've got their tax returns going back several years, probably 10 years. So you could take that file. It's going to take some time to analyze it.
Sure, I'll go ahead and take it. Does it have a billing address for this Jim Hansel and Kirill Petrov?
It does, yep. Kirill Petrov lives in Bellevue, and Jim Hansel was an employee of Knight Errant and worked at their training facility in his billing address was at the Knight Errant Seattle Training Academy in Renton, 715 Northeast 3rd Street, to be specific. The address given for Kirill Petrov in Bellevue is doesn't ring any bells, but you're sure it's quite fancy.
Yes. Can I take a look through and look for Hey Data, something that I'm looking at, and I think I could pawn this for some new yen.
So let's just quickly summarize from my memory what you've got so far. You've got the address.
We have the billing addresses for Kirill Petrov and Van Housen, alias is Jim Hansel. who are Warehouse Alliance shareholders. There are other investors, however, you did not list them.
I can give you that list.
Absolutely, that would be lovely.
It was Kirill Petrov, largest shareholder. Jim Ansell was second largest. Then there is a Pavel Gorev, Charles Lee, Piper Neves, Eli Kimball, and Kang Tian.
Okay.
And those were the, that's the full list of, all right. So those were the, those are the shareholders, and you probably want their addresses as well.
We can, if it comes up, you can just say it. We don't have to write it down. Other than that, I also have tax returns for Warehouse Alliance.
You have 10 years worth of tax returns for Warehouse Alliance, which is a huge chunk of data. Obviously, it doesn't take any space, but in game terms, but it's a huge chunk of data. You know, briefly glancing at the last tax return that they filed, it looks like it's about a 25 million new yen a year company in revenue. The other thing that seems a little odd, but you can't attach any immediate importance to it, is that the last two shareholders, Eli Kimball and Kang Tian, their location, there is no address listed for them. It's literally listed as unknown. However, their dividend payouts and other interest earned from the company has been accruing in accounts that have not been touched for several years.
That's interesting. How much is in them?
Quite a bit. Each of them have several hundred thousand new yen stashed away in accounts.
So is that money held by the company, or has it been transferred to...
No, they're escrow accounts.
Right. So any luck finding pay data?
What exactly are you looking for?
I'm looking for something that I could pawn either on an open market or to an information broker or competing warehouse company for money, even if it's a small amount. So obviously I'm not just going to take their entire records and just say, hey, who wants this? I suppose the information about that money in escrow accounts might be worth something to someone, but...
Yeah, you might be able to sell that. You also find... So one thing, you find the incorporation papers... Mm-hmm. That's probably public knowledge. You could probably get that in public domain if you did a matrix search. Some things of interest that you do find as you're sort of going through, you know, this is sort of a day-to-day shipping operation. So there are constantly shipments coming in and out. So you can see what contracts are open, who they have contracts with, who's been delivering and picking up. Ostensibly, you can see... in some cases, what's been delivered. But most of the, because it's basically just a transceiving place, other companies use it as a place to offload shipping containers that are then picked up by other shipping companies and moved on.
Right.
Do you have any knowledge skills about Seattle?
No, not particularly.
So let's say you take...
Oh, while we're here, I might want get at least some of those notes on their clients, just in case I see anything suspicious later on when I look at it. Because I might want to see if they're hiding the smuggling operation through a spurious contract. So I'll just take some of those going back like 2.5 years.
Yeah, you basically pull a list of clients, their contracts, and you can get a fairly detailed list of deliveries and pickups and how long things were left in the warehouse.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to, you know, probably go to a specialized and dedicated forensic accountant in order to actually get that analyzed, because...
It's a lot.
Yeah. So I have their locations, and I have earnings. How much is Kirill Petrov earning out of Warehouse Alliance?
He's earning about 750,000 new yen a year out of it.
Okay.
Fairly wealthy, you know, even without his standing at Evo.
Remind me, Kirill Petrov is the dean, yes?
Kirill Petrov is Dean Petrov, yes.
Okay. I think I done here, unless I can think of anything else they might have in the documents department or an accounting department that I might want to look at. Can I see if they've paid for any prisoners?
Recently or?
In general.
They have paid. They did pay for prisoners, yes. So they have a standing contract with both Lone Star and Knight Errant for a very specific type of prisoner. Basically, they're looking for riggers.
Mm-hmm. Have they been paid to take a prisoner?
They have been paid to take a prisoner, yes.
Okay. Can I just quickly look? Were they paid or did they pay for rigor mortis?
Rigor mortis is an anomaly in their bookkeeping in that he was one of the, or the very first prisoner that was transferred to their custody, and there is no record of payment either by them or to them.
That is interesting to note. I think I'm going to leave there. Can I search, what room would security footage be in?
That would be in the security room.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just waltz on in.
All right. Make an edge roll.
Great. I love making this. Can I edge this edge roll?
No.
One.
You waltz into the security node, and basically you are in another control room. This one is styled more like a air traffic controller or security tower, and the screens and boards all around are showing the statuses of and feeds from cameras, the locks on the security doors, perimeter fence, the locations of the various prisoners and guards. And currently everything appears to be green. You can tell that from the security feeds that even at this early time in the morning, there is a shift of riggers jacked into the pods. There are rigger-controlled forklifts moving about and moving shipping containers about, offloading trucks that are pulling into the warehouse and up to the warehouse docks. One thing that you do notice here, do you have any kind of engineering skills or anything like that?
I did it one time. No, not currently. I have hardware.
Any security skills? Yeah, that's a electronics computer skill, though.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything related to security?
No.
Okay. So then just give me a intuition and logic roll.
Okay. Three.
All right. So as you're looking at, you're seeing basically on one of the big screens, you're seeing a schematic of the building, a layout of the building, showing all of the various security systems, the alarms, motion sensors, turrets, cameras, mag locks, you know, all that type of thing. One thing that strikes you and sort of dovetails with your memory of having physically seen this location is that there is a large loading dock area where, if you remember right, 6 to 8 large trucks could back into and get offloaded. But then on the other side of the prisoner's courtyard, there's another loading dock, a much smaller loading dock. And the warehouse space is divided between the space that is accessed between from the large dock and the small dock. And the small dock is where the bulk of the... So when they offload the trucks in the large dock, they basically get stacked in that large part of the warehouse. The small dock, some of those crates get shifted out of the warehouse and into the prison facility directly.
Right. Can I see if there are those kinds of goods there currently?
Yes. There are several containers and barrels. The place seems to be quite almost packed to capacity.
Interesting. Can I do a quick scan of all of the security footage that is there to see if I find Kirill Petrov in them at all?
You don't see Kirill Petrov at all. The people that you see, as you sort of skip through the days, you basically get a fairly decent catalog of faces of all of the guards and administrative staff, but you don't see anybody at all show up that looks like they're anything more than that.
Right.
I was going to say there was something else I wanted to let you know about. Oh, well.
There was a small dock, magical supply goods, footage.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's one thing that occurs to you, and that's the fact that you broke in and broke somebody out, that's a security breach, right? So you don't see any signs of that a security breach having affected any of the business. The business still seems to be booming. And then you recall, oh, wait a minute, I was just looking at rigor mortis, and he's still listed as active on their rolls. So apparently they never reported that he was taken.
That is very interesting to know.
All right, let's make another edge test.
Great. I don't like where this is going. Two.
Yeah, everything's still going smoothly.
Yeah, so can I look to see, final thing, can I look to see if there's any, so like the area that Grace manifested, can I look to see if that showed up on the security footage? Like that little hallway.
Remind me, so technological devices see something manifesting from the astral?
I believe so, because they would still be like visible to
light.
Yes.
So you do see the briefest blip of Grace. It's really less than a second long, as I mean, you know exactly the time of day, so you're able to go to that footage immediately. And it's, like I said, it's barely a second long, so take that as you will.
Correction. Manifesting is a psychic effect, so it would not affect electronic devices.
Okay.
And I would have known that, which means it would have been a waste of time. However,
so you would never have done that, but you might have reviewed the security footage anyways, just out of curiosity, because you probably wanted to see how it looked from the inside when rigor mortis got rescued.
Indeed, just to make sure it isn't like something that needs to be edited over, like it's too weird.
And maybe you copy it out of just sheer, you know.
Why not?
You might want to show the team later.
Probably not, but having it is fun.
You know, you see the footage from inside of the courtyard as rigor mortis exits and starts walking around the loop, and suddenly ice sort of vaults or gets catapulted over the wall, lands in front of him, grabs him, and flies back out. You know, it all takes 2 or 3 seconds, and a shot rings out, and the guard in the guard tower who was reaching for his rifle, the rifle is splintered by a large caliber bullet and knocked away from him, and he takes cover. And, you know, it all happens so quickly. There's barely any good footage.
All right. Where would the matrix logs be kept? Because I want to edit the logs quickly to make it harder to track.
Yeah, you can do that here in the security, because from security, you'll go back out into the public area where you're allowed to be anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that right here in the security note. Oh, well, I'm not going to say anything.
Now I'm curious. Feeling a little paranoid.
Well, there is something you could get out of this node.
Something I could get out of the security node. Oh, yeah. Could I get right, this probably controls passes and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to, actually, yeah, I might have to stay here for longer. So I'm going to go ahead and get them limited access passes to the prison itself. And then what I might do is I might go back into the account section and fabricate a document saying that there was like a, let me get into the mind, Cecile here. What would she think they need to dress up as to get into a prison?
Well, they might be a security consulting team that's there to investigate a recent breach.
That is a very good idea. However, it's not punk enough.
Terminators? Awakened cockroaches or eating the goods?
Maybe that, or maybe have them... Are there any prisoners here who are, like, convicted of something that... Like, can I see their convictions?
Yeah. I mean, they're all riggers, so it ranges from, you know, smuggling to shadow running to, you know, vehicular theft and things like that.
So if they were caught as a shadow runner, probably don't want them as a contact. They don't seem that good.
They're all criminals.
Right. I was going to ask, is there anyone who like had a super like light sentence but was put here anyway?
No.
Okay. Never mind. In that case, let's go with the security consultants. Let's say there are two of them.
Okay, so you're creating a basically, so you're getting a pass or pass codes that you can have put onto an actual pass key. Mm-hmm. And you're creating like a work order or some kind of standing communication from headquarters that, hey, these people are going to be showing up.
Yes, indeed.
So let's do edit. I like that.
Yes.
And what I would say is that basically you have had enough time in the system and you have enough access to the files so that you can find a good example of this type of work order. So that for you, this is going to be a fairly low threshold, probably. What did I say it was again?
I'm just going to go ahead and roll computer plus edit.
And give yourself two extra dice on that.
Three.
All right. You feel like you've created a more than reasonable facsimile of the type of document that Warehouse Lines headquarters would have sent Puyallup. And, you know, you had actually found, even though there was no documentation of rigor mortis being disappearing, there were documents regarding a failed breach. So basically you take that data and you reference it in your forged file, and you feel fairly good with yourself, happy with your work.
Great. The very next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to edit the matrix logs so that my logging on does not appear, and then set up an automated action to delete the next exit log.
Okay, perfect.
And then I'm going to leave.
Well, you've been there quite a while. This is taking up the most of the night.
These edge rolls have me on edge.
No, why? Why would they? Why should they? All right, do you have to roll for editing the log?
I think in the optional rules we were going for, if I was like hacking on the fly and trying to get my trace down, then yes. Let me pull up the section. I think it's in...
I feel like you've got enough access to the system to make it fairly simple.
Yeah, it wouldn't be all that.
Let's just do an edit test.
Yeah, in a sense. Edit again. Three. Probably fine.
You feel like you've cleaned up your tracks fairly efficiently and are happy with the elegant code you slipped in there that sort of set up the next erase, and you're out. You drop back into the Matrix Cafe. I mean, you were cold sim, so you were fairly aware anyways, but the barista behind the counter of the Caddy Corner Cafe is starting to give you a bit of a side eye. You've been sitting in there for a good 6 hours now.
Although she's probably seen people who are worse with their Matrix games.
At least you weren't, like, completely passed out in full VR, so...
No, Cold Sim is full VR. It's not like, oh my god, my brain's melted.
There's an incoming text DM from Krillsec.
What does it read?
It's a long string of text. The meaning, as usual, is sort of obfuscated in some sort of random matrixy text code. But what it says as you peruse it, it's for Krillsec, it's actually a relatively long message. And it says, I've been looking into this Petrov character that you asked. As you asked me to. As you remember, I think it was a couple of sessions ago, maybe already, that you asked him to look into Petrov. He says, I've been looking into this Petrov character as you asked me to. This Ome puts a lot of effort into keeping his nose clean. He's a philanthropist. He's engaged in the Plexus High Society and the arts. He's got a doting wife and two successful progeny. But here's the interesting thing. I found a sin that's biometric data was very expertly erased to make it appear to have been corrupted. It is listed as deceased. It was assigned to someone with initials AP and has the same birth date as Petrov's eldest daughter, Anya Petrov. I was partially able to restore some of the biometric data, but it doesn't match the biometric data of Anya Petrov. The AP SIN biometric data suggests that whoever this AP person is, would have undergone goblinization. However, genetically, they appear to be closely related to Anya Petrov. It's a slim lead, but those coincidences are hard to overlook. I've also been told by some of my Shadow Sea chummers that Kirill Petrov is a name that was known in the shadows as a Yamatetsu fixer and deniable assets handler. I'm not sure if it's the same person, but how did someone like that survive long enough to become the dean of Evo's UW facility? Curious, no? Almost makes me think they have something on someone powerful enough to get them out of the shadows and into a cushy job.
Right, I'll text back. Thanks, Krillsec. This helps a lot. Let me know if you have any work that needs done. I just finished getting a bunch of data on Warehouse Alliance. We'll let you know if there's anything interesting on it.
He texts back, yeah, if there's any juicy tidbits, shoot them my way.
Well, if you consider escrow accounts with hundreds of thousands of million in them interesting, then yes, there is.
He texts back, yeah, I can find buyers for that.
I'll let you know once I've figured out who the mystery investors are.
Sounds good. Stay safe out there.
All right. Now is the question. There are a lot of leads here.
You said you wanted some mystery type stuff.
Indeed. So Rigor Mortis was never reported as missing. That could just be Warehouse Alliance covering their ass. Or it could mean something else is going on, and I don't have the pieces.
Yeah, you think it's probably Warehouse Alliance covering their ass if the facility is being used for nefarious purposes by a third party. They wouldn't want that third party to know because, yeah, you don't want the warehouse that somebody else's smuggling operation is paying you for security for to have a security breach.
Oh, indeed. And I'm sure having some security inspectors show up on site unexpected when there's a bunch of smuggled goods, that's going to cause a bit of a stir.
Fortunately, somebody has an official work order for that.
Next course of action. I'm going to leave this Matrix Cafe and go to a different... No. Now Seal is going to go to Deander's, like knock on the door, and just go to bed.
All right. I think that is actually good because it's probably... You're getting to that point where it is 6 a.m. and Deander is actually awake, so...
Yes. I don't want to be taking fatigue damage. Once Cecile has slept, I think the next course of action is looking into Eli Campbell and Kang Tian, just to see if those names check out, if they're linked to anything. All right, I got a 3.
All right, so right off the bat, within the first hour, you get the information that Eli Campbell and Kang Tian were initial investors in Warehouse Alliance. You also find data that suggests that Eli Campbell and Kang Tian are aliases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you're doing your sort of Google search, your Matrix search for these names, the data that you get back is shallow and sort of one-dimensional in a way that makes you think that these were not that they weren't real people. Obviously, the SIN is registered and everything, but it seems a little artificial to you.
Right. Hmm.
And they dropped off the Matrix. They dropped out of existence actually several years ago already.
Does that line up when they stopped collecting payment from Warehouse Alliance?
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and forward that information to Krillsec. Let him know if he's interested. I don't want to spend too time investigating these two because I have a feeling that it's kind of a dead end. Maybe not.
What are you sending... Krillsec?
Basically the information on Eli Campbell and Kang Tian that they went dark a couple years ago, and that lines up with when they stopped actually collecting their payments, and that their SIN information looks a little dodgy.
So you're basically sending him the data also that the fact that there are these two escrow accounts that have been collecting dust and Nuyen.
Yes, but I'm not going to give the exact... obviously, I'm not going to give the account numbers until he coughs up money.
So that was just 1 hour. So you slept. How long did you sleep? Did you get a full 6, 7, 8 hours in?
Yeah. Let's say she slept 9 hours. Who cares?
All right. So it's the afternoon of the next day and you're probably sitting in Deander's apartment just Matrix browsing.
Yeah. Or at least it would look that way. Who is Kirill Petrov's spouse?
Kirill Petrov's spouse is a woman by the name of Diana Petrov. So give me another roll.
Data search?
Yeah. Browse, whatever that last roll was.
Oh, wow. Terrible.
You didn't glitch. So there's that. Kirill Petrov's wife is Diana Petrov.
I did get a full night's rest. Do I get a point of edge that I use?
Yes. The social media feeds and, you know, Seattle Plex Society pages feature many pictures of Diana Petrov, beautiful, tall, blonde woman of somewhat indeterminate age, probably over 30, probably under 50. you see a lot of her, you know, at various social things, socialite stuff, benefits. She does a lot of philanthropy benefits.
Where does she work?
She does not work. So that was 1 hour.
Yep. I'm going to spend another hour because I smell something weird too.
Still digging into Diana Petrov?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's definitely had, as you dig into it further, she has the reputation for being fairly cold and ruthless in her dealings. She's quite powerful in the Seattle high society circles.
Mm-hmm.
She's seen in several of the pictures of her out and about at social functions, both with Kirill Petrov and at other times with another woman, fairly strongly built yet shapely and attractive redhead, who's somewhat shorter than Diana. You see,
I guess I'm trying to find her contacts, relationships, that kind of thing, just at this moment.
Give me a memory test.
Memory, okay. Two.
Okay, so what was in Prokop's message?
Ah, yes, about the woman.
Yeah.
That there was a woman close to her that was the key to something.
So you're wondering, you know, with the memory test and your browse score there, you're wondering whether this woman that you're seeing there is that woman. You sort of do some more searching, you know, using her picture. Give me another browse test.
Sure. One.
You get some more data on this person. Her name is Piper Neves.
Piper Neves. Interesting.
Memory test.
I already remember that she was on the shareholders list.
You do get some pictures of her where you find some pictures on the internet. She also is sort of a socialite. Mm-hmm. Spends a lot of time in social circles. You find some more pictures of her. She has very red hair. It's quite long, but it's shaved on one side of her head.
Okay.
There's a tattoo of a large star on her neck, and she has several data jacks.
Interesting. Can I matrix search the tattoo?
Yes.
Right. I would like to do so because that smells like something to me too.
It's a tattoo that a lot of Lone Star operatives have.
Mm.
You actually remember that George Van Housen had one as well.
Hey, okay. Interesting.
You think that you could probably dig up more. I mean, so far you've sort of got the surface of the tattoo.
All right, I'm going to do another search for this Diana woman. Five.
You get down into the underbelly of some of various matrix forums and, you know, gossip rags, and you start finding a lot more stuff about Piper. Or, you know, you're looking for Diana.
Yes, Diana.
Well, let's just say you're looking for Diana and Piper.
Mm.
Diana, there are some very nasty rumors circulating about her in some of the more gossipy type stuff, and also in some of, you get into some forums and pages that are leaning a little bit more towards the Humanus Polyclub side of the Matrix. You see references to her, not directly, but you are able to put two and two together because these people aren't smart enough to really, when they go for a code name, they try to make it obvious who they're talking about for their own self-importance.
Right.
So you get the distinct impression that Diana Petrov donates heavily to Humanist-type organizations and causes within the Metroplex, and that she absolutely loathes and detests, well, most metahumans that aren't human, but especially orcs.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
And there is also a lot of gossip about her and Piper that they may be lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Diana Petrov is seen in public, she's either with Kirill or Piper. They're never all three in the same spot at the same time.
Indeed. I'm going to do a search for this daughter of Petrov.
Anya Petrov?
Yes, Anya Petrov.
You actually know Anya Petrov.
Oh, how coincidental.
She's a graduate of the Washington University. Much like her mother, beautiful blonde woman, thanks to both genetics and probably very good cosmetic surgery. She graduated from Washington University at the top of her class, and she has a degree in genetic engineering and now works for an Evo lab.
Genetic engineering, huh? That's very impressive.
I mean, when was Cecile born?
Oh, God, I had this exactly planned out. Pull up a Wikipedia page. Cecile was probably born between 2050 and 2049.
Anya Petrov was born in 2042.
Okay.
She's several classes ahead of you. Do you know her by reputation? A, because she's the daughter of the dean, so there was always, there's talk. And then there's also, when you were doing your research on what schools you wanted to go to and stuff like that, you obviously saw her picture, under the title, of illustrious or well-known alumni of the courses.
Right. So I would like to look up photos or TRID photos of Anya Petrov as a child.
They're relatively sparse. Usually they're in the context of some social event or benefit event where she was captured by the paparazzi with her famous parents.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything specific that you're looking for? Or you just want to have the photos on file?
Well, I was running down the hunch that there was a, because my two hypotheses at this exact moment are either that Anya had a sister or that the original Anya goblinized and was either genetically engineered to look different or was simply cloned.
So you've got pictures of Anya Petrov as a child. You see a young blonde girl in a lot of the pictures accompanying her parents, smiling shyly at the paparazzi. And as you sort of follow the progression, you see her grow up, become fairly confident and even dismissive of the paparazzi until you start seeing pictures of her with her dad at the university and, a lot of headlines of fluffy headlines about, daughter following in father's footsteps and making everybody proud type of stuff.
Right.
So you've got a fairly long lineage of photos. You don't really get any, I'm still using your five hits on this last browse test for this. You don't really see, there's no discontinuity except for, I need Cecile to make a roll. I'm just not sure which roll. I guess just give me an intuition plus edge. Use your edge dice along with your intuition dice.
Yep. No modifiers. Wow. That's terrible.
There's no break or cutoff point that you can tell where you would say, oh, this is a different person or something drastic's changed here.
Yeah, but I don't trust this. Can I search for that other sin, the one that was just had the initials A?
It's sort of a corrupted file that Girlsec gave you. He's cleaned it up a good bit, and you admire his handiwork. He's also got the biometric data for Anya Petrov, so you can basically line them up together, to take a look at them if you mm-hmm. want. And I would say we would do another intuition and logic test. Sounds like a reasonable combination of attributes.
One.
Give yourself two extra dice, I would say. You've got the data there. You basically can line them up next to each other, and you're a researcher. I thought you were a researcher.
Well, she's having a rough day.
Four ones.
That's five ones on 10 dice. Oh, that was real close.
Phew.
Oh, I want to re-roll this.
Well, you could always use Edge to re-roll it.
I mean, Cecile isn't. Oh, wait, she does technically have a biology knowledge skill.
Yeah, you could add those dice too.
So I'm going to roll three extra dice because she was very good at biology. Another, okay. Two hits.
Yeah, I mean, that's, plenty for a fairly easy task of lining up the data and being able to discern that the genetic data that is on the AP sin is virtually identical to the genetic data that is on the Anya Petrov sin, except for that the genetic markers that predict goblinization were edited out.
Hmm.
I mean, it goes beyond being sisters unless they're identical twins, but having identical twins would mean that both of them would have the genetic markers, you know, that predict goblinization.
Yeah, so would I...
You would say there's probably 80 to 90% alignment accounting for the data that's been missing and irretrievably corrupted.
Yeah, but that's still pretty...
That's pretty high.
It's pretty high, but I'm more meaning, like, if there was some kind of edit, that's pretty significant. That's not, oh yeah, pop down to the local gene shop, we'll take care of you. That's like, oh no, there was some serious work done here.
You admire how Krillsec was able to retrieve this corrupted data, but what it shows is that there was no genetic editing done. The data on the SYN was edited.
Is that so? Huh.
So AP had the markers for goblinization. The SYN for Anya Petrov has the same genetic code. However, those markers were edited out of her SYN.
That leads me to believe that she's maybe had a lot of cosmetic work done to really reduce the look of her goblinization.
Yeah, I won't say anything. I'll let you think on it for a little while.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take down some notes. This Piper needs... Does she have a job?
Piper is retired. She's a socialite. She contributes to many of the similar causes that the Petrovs do and attends similar functions, but as already noted, she's never at the same function as Kirill Petrov.
See. Out of curiosity, what is one of these philanthropic organizations?
You know, they attend things like, and organize things like benefits concerts or art shows or auctions that benefit clinics that specialize in helping children. They are patrons of the arts. They sponsor up-and-coming fine arts type of artists. They are somewhat politically active, and so, you know, that type of thing. Does that answer your questions?
Yeah, basically.
They were actually supporters of one of the people that they were supporters of was Kenneth Brackhaven.
Brackhaven?
That's about the only time that you data that you find that they might have been politically active. After the backlash against Brackhaven, they stopped, you know, being overtly sympathetic to any political campaigns.
So now I'm curious, what does Petrov have that's keeping him in a job? And why was, because if he does have something, that's why he's kept his job and he's been blackmailing someone to get where he is, and that would explain why Miss Luce was so invested in getting him gone. But if he has dirt on someone, I want that dirt.
He might be invested in getting him gone simply because of what happened in the 2050s, where he was part of a plot to actually kidnap or kill her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably enough reason to get rid of him.
Yeah. But also, if he has dirt, I want it anyway, so.
He probably does have dirt on somebody or other. I mean, you don't survive that long having been a Yamatetsu fixer.
Question one is, do I just want to send them on a run into the Warehouse Alliance facility? Because it does have a smuggling operation, and getting some kind of proof would be good. I'm not quite sure why I would want to go there other than that, though.
Well, once you do an analysis of the client list, if there's anything shady going on, if you can find physical evidence of that and link it to one of those clients, that's potentially a pressure point as well.
That is something I had not considered. So can I look over that client list and try to find, because I could probably see which ones they were.
It's a relatively long list, being sort of a who's who of local shipping companies. I would say after sort of running the names through the matrix filter, you start to single out a couple, or rather focus in on a couple, one or two names.
Mm-hmm.
One of the names that you're most interested in is a company by the name of Ogura Freight.
Say that again?
Ogura Freight.
Ogura.
They're one of the least, at least the smaller quantity-wise contracts but one of the higher paying contracts. So they're paying ostensibly in their contract at paying for heightened security and faster turnaround rate. But in a brief analysis, the contract looks disproportionately rich compared to the services that they're getting. And they don't, while they have frequent trucks going in and out of Warehouse Alliance, they don't leave a lot of freight there. You know, they're the main interesting ones. And then when you run it through your matrix filter, Ogura Freight is known to be a Yakuza-owned entity. Or not known. I shouldn't say it's known.
Rumor
to the point of, like, we can't prove it, but we know it, kind of rumor.